Hello, everyone. Welcome to TechNet Radio. My name is Kevin Remde, and I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. Developer Experience team at Microsoft, and I'm your TechNet Radio host today. Now, this is the second part of our multi-part series entitled Dev Test Starts with IT. And as you recall, in part one, we covered why Azure was a powerful tool for developers and IT alike. Now, in part two, we're going to get into some of the details on how enterprise applications can be tested and managed using Azure as a solution, as a foundation for those. And again, we're fortunate to have Drew McDaniel with us. Welcome, Drew.
Thank you, Kevin.
So, Drew, you're a principal program manager with Microsoft. Now, what does that mean? What program do you principally manage?
So I principally program manage our infrastructure as a service virtual machines workload within Azure. And in my role, I focus on our enterprise use of Azure. And so the enterprise applications come under that purview, the different applications, the machines that we use for supporting those type of applications.
Okay. All right. And we know that Azure, or at least a lot of us know that Azure can be used for testing enterprise applications and hosting enterprise applications. What types of enterprise applications are we talking about here?
Great question. Yeah, so with enterprise applications, first thing we should look at is exactly what is an enterprise application. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of definitionally, those are the applications that are designed for supporting a enterprise scale problem. So, you know, whether that is like, for example, a ERP system or a CRP system, a customer relationship manager system, they tend to have these kind of requirements around, you know, high performance, high scalability in solving these enterprise level problems, robustness. In addition, they often will have this integration need for into identity systems or other systems on premises. And so when looking at these applications in a public cloud like Azure, hybrid is a very important thing, whether you're running that for dev test purposes or production purposes.
All right, and that's we're talking a little bit more about this hybrid approach and networking in a little bit too. So give me some examples of some applications that we would consider enterprise applications and how they're supported in Azure.
Absolutely. You know, actually, probably the best way to kind of give you some examples is to show you a little bit about what's available within Azure. So here we are in the Azure portal. This is the Azure preview portal. There's two portals, and so you may need to navigate to the preview portal. This is really the best place, Kevin, to see the set of machines and available applications that are ready for you. Nice, convenient plus sign up here is how you get to creating anything new in this portal. We'll select compute. And then here is the marketplace. There's a set of the top items that are shown there, but if you go into the marketplace, we'll see everything that is available within the Azure portal and pre-configured. And so if we scroll down, I mean, some of the enterprise applications, we actually see SharePoint Server Farm. This will create a multi-VM SharePoint farm for you, get it up and running. And so it gets you an easy way to kind of do some testing and validation of what you're doing. But if we go down further here, and we have a set of applications in here. For example, these are our Azure certified applications. And so Azure certified means that those images, those applications have been tested either by Microsoft or by a third party submitting that into this portal. And so here we see things like Dynamics, you know, a typical ERP application that is used. In addition, we have things like key database servers. And so, for example, we have our SQL Server database, but not just Microsoft databases. We actually have Oracle and IBM database. Any of these you can select and you get a variety of options. So if you look at the SQL, we actually see we've got things pre-configured from an older version of SQL Server 2008. And so if you're doing some testing that needs a little bit of an older version, up to some of the latest versions of SQL Server that are available, you can leverage those. If you're doing some testing, you're often may want to look to see how these applications run on a later version. And so these pre-configured applications that are just available and easy to launch is another aspect that really makes Azure a great place to run these applications. Now, in addition to the core applications, and actually let me just select SQL Server here, you actually need the machines and the horsepower to run the application. So now when I've selected the application here, I'm doing SQL Server 2014 Enterprise version. we'll go into the what we call a blade that is showing how to, you know, taking the information to create the virtual machine. So here I have to hit enter the basic configuration of the host name, username, and password. So let me just enter this here. This is a demo SQL. Enter my username that will become the administrator name of the machine and a password to log into the machine. But here the key thing is we want to look at the pricing tier. So standard DS13, if we click on this, it tells us a little bit about the machine that has been selected here. So this is an 8-core virtual machine, 56 gigabytes of RAM. Key here is this premium storage being supported. For these enterprise class applications, you often want to be running with premium storage. Premium storage is the persistent disks, and so the persistent disks that are remote to the VM. Premium is all based on SSD technology, and so it gives you very high bandwidth, low latency, and just really great performance. So you can see here we've got a DS13. You can go up and double that VM size into a DS14. Moves you up to 112 gigabyte machine. In addition to that, we'll just highlight, and again, maybe not using for dev test, but for running on production, this is really our big monster machine here. This is our GS5 virtual machine. And if you look here, we've actually doubled the cores up to 32 cores. This is actually running on the latest generation Haswell processors from Intel, so that you're moving from a Sandy Bridge-based processor to a Haswell-based processor. Now we're running at almost a half terabyte of RAM, a larger amount of local SSD, and a larger amount of SSD that's actually used for caching. And so you really have just a wide selection from these set of recommended machines down to, you know, if you're just really kicking the tires and doing something, we have even smaller machines at a lower price point. And so you really have that wide selection of machines and software that can be used within Azure.
And wide number of choices around, in particular with regard to SQL Server, something like IAPS becomes very important. So that's why the premium storage makes that number incredibly useful.
It's very useful. Yes. And IAPS, and if you know, for a traditional online transactioning type of validation, if you're doing data warehouse, then throughput is extremely important. Again, the premium storage enables a higher level of throughput as well.
Yeah.
One other thing that's worth, you know, I want to mention and show here is that we do have a set of, I'm going to just shut this down here. There's a set of images that are specifically made available for testing purposes under our MSDN, our Microsoft Developer Network. And these images, if you happen to have a Microsoft Developer Network subscription, you can get an Azure subscription that's tied to that. And that enables you access to a set of images that are not available to just general Azure customers. And so an example of that is our Dynamics. Dynamics GP. So this is a developer edition. This image here is available only for MSDN subscriptions. And so if you're running this image, if you have an MSDN subscription for dev test purposes, you can leverage that. Or another thing that you see we'll get in Azure is we can actually use, let's say, Windows 10. Now, the Windows client operating system is only available for use in dev test purposes within the public cloud. But because the MSDN subscriptions are only targeted at development and test purposes, you can use Windows 10 or you could use an earlier version we have back to Windows 7 as the client for testing some of these applications. And so Azure really does just allow you to do some, simple tests, they're simple to get up and running, but very powerful machines to actually do that testing within Azure.
And I see that Visual Studio actually is one of those solutions as well. It can become pre-installed and pre-installed on Windows 10. So if you want to actually develop on Windows 10.
That's absolutely true. Client. Visual Studio is right here. Right here in there. Again, you can list it out. Again, the number of applications in the marketplace are huge, so the search functionality really, really helps out.
And growing every day. And I thought it was interesting too that some of these solutions that were on the list previously in the store there are not single machine solutions. These are solutions that, back to the SharePoint example, these are solutions that require two or three or four or nine machines to be running in order to do this right.
Yeah. And what we have within Azure, we've just released our Azure Resource Manager that allows you to orchestrate that deployment of a multi-machine configuration. And as we talked a little bit in our last episode, that template can then be used to repeatedly deploy that same configuration. And with our recently announced Azure Stack, which is Azure coming to on-premises, you will then be able to use those same templates to run on-premises software as well.
Fantastic.
And then the only other thing, so there's a set of applications that are pre-configured here. One other thing that's worth pointing out, just for expanding the set of applications that are deployed, there is a large number of applications that are tested and validated for running within Azure that are even not in this this list. So, for example, the Microsoft teams developing applications, even if they're not able to add their image into the gallery, they do go through and do a lot of validation of that software in Azure. And if you use your favorite search engine and search for Azure supported software, you will see a Microsoft Knowledge Base article that details all of the different applications, the Microsoft applications that have been validated for Azure. It includes all of those that we looked at just a moment ago in the store, but it also includes some additional ones like the Dynamics CRM application, Exchange Server for messaging, the System Center suite of applications, and additional others that, even if you don't see it in this gallery, are available to use in Azure and have been validated by those product teams to run in Azure.
Fantastic. And many being added every week, every month, based on the capabilities of the platform itself. The addition, for example, of premium storage, that really opened the floodgates for a large number of additional applications that are now supported as Azure workloads.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, that's great stuff, Drew. Thank you so much for that. Now, you mentioned MSDN and showed off some of that. MSDN is fairly well known among developers and the software development industry. It stands for Microsoft Developer Network. It might be new to some of the IT pros out there, though. So what is it, maybe in a little more detail, and is there any reason why IT pros might consider going to it?
Yeah. So MSDN is something well known in the developer ecosystem, but it is something that IT pros should look at as well. And MSDN is a lot of different things. It includes access to things like Visual Studio. Traditionally, it's given the software for customers to use and test. Specifically within Azure, one of the things that's really interesting as we're looking at in the portal there is that MSDN allows you to have an Azure subscription that's tied to that. And in that subscription, you get a set of hours included set of dollars included in that subscription. So for example, you can have between $50 and $150 of Azure usage that you get every single month for you just having MSDN. And in that, not only do you get access to those images that we were looking at, the unique MSDN images, but other images like SQL Server and BizTalk Server that we looked at, those you don't pay for the per hour price. You actually, on MSDN, because the MSDN includes that software, you paid no additional fee. And in fact, running Windows, you pay no additional fee over the price of just the compute. And so running Windows under this dev test subscription for MSDN, you pay just the equivalent price as our Linux containers for the VM. And so not only do you get free money, you actually get a reduced rate. You get access to additional software. And so this can be really, really powerful for an IT pro doing dev test, doing some evaluation of different things, just because of the added benefit and the cumulative benefit that you get from those per month dollars, as well as the lower price for each Microsoft piece of software.
All right. Yeah. Good. That's great. That's great news. I didn't know that about the Windows licensing actually being included as part of that too. So that, charging the compute hours based on the Linux machine usage is really great.
Exactly.
I think it's safe to say that Well, enterprise applications. These are enterprise applications, and they require some form of authentication. Users need to log in. They need to prove who they are in order to use these applications. And then, you know, to be able to support that backend means some kind of a identity management solution, typically. And, you know, we all think about Windows Server Active Directory as a real great example of that. Now, if I'm installing or moving some of these components that make up an enterprise application into Azure, how's that going to work for me? I mean, is there a way I can integrate my existing identity platform into or along with an Azure-based application?
Yeah, and so there's really kind of two models that we end up seeing, depending on what you're doing. So within Azure, and when you deploy a machine in Azure, in using the preview portal, you always deploy it into a virtual network. The virtual network enables you to set up subnets, configure the IP ranges for your machines. And so if you're doing a fully private, self-contained deployment, you'd set up that virtual network and, you know, deploy the domain controllers, your DNS servers, and then all the applications that you want to test. And so that gives you a really isolated way to test and validate, and often to have multiple types of configurations that stand alone. But if you're doing something that is a little more advanced, you may need to connect back into an on-premises ERP system, Active Directory identity system. That's when our hybrid approaches come in. Now, what hybrid does is it takes the Azure virtual network and connects that back to your on-premises network. It uses a system called a gateway service, and then you have the option to either connect that over a VPN connection, that is a encrypted connection between on-premises and in Azure, or as you're using more and more, if you actually need higher bandwidth, lower latency, you have the option to use a thing we call ExpressRoute. And what ExpressRoute does is it creates that same connection between on-premises and in Azure, but now it runs over a carrier network, like running over an AT&T or Verizon. So that gives you higher security because you're separated off of the internet onto that carrier-owned network, but you also get a more guaranteed level of latency, and so you have a lower latency between your location and in Azure, as well as you can, you know, get a higher guaranteed bandwidth. And so depending on what you're doing, you can go from the very simple software-based VPN that connects on-premises to Azure, or to a very robust, you know, very high bandwidth ExpressRoute connection that allows you really to treat Azure just as if it's a branch data center, if you will. So it gives you that flexibility.
Yeah. So, and it sounds like this hybrid approach. I mean, that means that once you have this connection, you know, not only am I building this for a particular enterprise application, but it sounds like I could use this for other applications or other access to other resources on premises. Is that right?
That is correct. So you can use this for, you know, not only your dev test, but also ongoing production utilization, as well as this ExpressRoute that I mentioned a moment ago. ExpressRoute can even be used to connect on-premises through that carrier network to Office 365 and other you know, Microsoft cloud platforms. And so not only do you get, you know, some of this benefit of Azure, but it's really the entire Microsoft cloud that you can actually start connecting up to your on-premises, which gets to be extremely powerful.
Definitely, definitely. Good to know. Now, if I'm testing these applications, is there anything special that needs to be done? What do you recommend as far as doing this deployment of the applications and the capacity or the performance they're going to need?
Yeah, so as we looked at the machines, when you're using these applications, testing these applications within Azure, one thing you really want to start off with in most cases is that premium storage. And so that's your machines that include the S in the name, so your DS set of machines or your GS set of machines. Then you also want to look at the memory that's going to be used. And so a lot of times some of these applications will require a large amount of memory. Our D series goes from 3.5 gigs per core is our D 1 through 4. Then we have we jump up to a D 11 through DS 11 through 14 that is 7 gigs per core, and so you can get a bit more memory up to 112 gigs, and then finally if you need even more memory, the G series, which is 14 gigabytes per core, really maxes out the amount of memory. And that's the one that we saw that actually gets you all the way up to almost a half terabyte of memory usage. Now, once you've actually, the set of machines that you're configuring, like I said, you also want to look at those templates. And so the templates allow you to deploy those set of machines over and over again. And if you look at, you know, if you go to the Azure.com website, under our community and select on templates, you can see these templates to actually a set of these that have been provided by Microsoft and the community that you can use to get up and running a set of different applications very quickly. In fact, even more applications that we have that we showed in the marketplace.
Yeah, if you really want to get into some JSON formatting and work with a text file that does that documentation, those examples are out there, and it's a really good way to start. And you can even launch the example templates that are out there directly in the portal, so you don't even have to use that scripting. So that's awesome. Yes. Good stuff. This is all wonderful. I wonder if you have any other additional resources you want to point people to as far as where they can get started with this dev test of enterprise applications.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the templates at Azure.com, documentation templates, is a key place to start. Mm-hmm. Looking at the MSDN location, we'll have those links up for signing up for an MSDN subscription and attaching that to Azure. And then we have an upcoming DevTest Labs offering that is coming out, and we'll have a link on how to register for access to that DevTest Labs as well, which just takes some of this work that we've done, puts it all together, packages it up in a very nice way to use for DevTest purposes.
Terrific. Good. I hope, and I know that a lot of our viewers are going to follow up on that and take good advantage of that. So great to make that available. Again, Drew, thanks so much for your time today. This has been great.
Thanks for giving me the chance to kind of give everybody an overview of the power that we have there in Azure and the simplicity. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. And we'll see you all again soon for another edition of TechNet Radio.